welcome to Ray and Tay today. It's Monday. Woo. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and thank you for joining us on the adventure of some sports talk. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails and comments. And you know what? You can even email us some questions, do a little voice memo, and we can play it live on the air with Ray and Tay, you know, and answer your questions live, because I know sometimes it's a busy life out there, so just, boom, record an iPhone and shoot it to us, you know. We'll get back to you. So that's rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. We're very interactive. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday and like us on Facebook. Ray, let them know, man. We got a busy show, bouncing all over, and then we're taking it to the hoop.
Yes, we do. Playoffs. I said, wake me up in April. I'm awake. The playoffs are right around the corner. But before we get into that, we got to talk about what's happening in the world of sports. So we're going around, give you some breaking news. We'll talk about the Masters. We'll talk about NFL. We'll talk about a swimmer coming out of retirement. We're talking about one kid going in the draft, another one thinking about it, or maybe saying, hey, college isn't so bad for me after all. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about NBA basketball. We'll get into some hoops. We'll take a quick look at what's going on in the first round, which is coming up later this week, at the end of the week, or this weekend, I guess.
Yeah, Saturday.
And,
Saturday.
And we'll take a quick look around what's happening in MLB. And then we'll bring you our segment, You're Not Ready, where Ray and Tay bring you a team, a player, something that you're not ready for, something that might take you by surprise, something where we go out on a little bit of a limb, make a prediction, and tell you you're not ready for it.
That's what's up. So, you know, I want to ask you, did you watch this, or did you catch wind of Saturday night, Mr. Manny Pacquiao took care of business? He made it so it was unanimous, and there was no question that he beat Timothy Bradley. And now I wonder, and I want to ask you, because for me, I kind of cared but kind of didn't. But if him and Mayweather fight, even though it's 5 years too late, I'll care. Can we get this now? Can we get Pacquiao and Mayweather to fight?
I have mixed feelings about these two, because they are probably the two most important boxers in the world right now. It used to be the heavyweight.
Yeah, the sport is dying.
The show. Sport is dying. MMA is really taking over in that younger demographic. So the sport needs it. As an old-school boxing fan, I want it. You want it. We all want it. But then again, I don't want it for this reason, that these two cats are so arrogant that they just feel like the world is going to wait for them. Not only the world is going to wait for them, but the world is going to wait for them and then still get paid $50, $60 million apiece to fight this fight. And it's the absolute wrong message. It's the message that almost like we're bigger than boxing.
We don't give the fans what they want, yeah.
We don't give the fans what they want, and we still get paid. And so we make all of this money running up to it, and we're still going to each make $50 million from this fight, maybe because Pacquiao has got five losses, and he lost to knocked out by Marquez and lost to Bradley. He's got a couple of blemishes on his record where Floyd Mayweather doesn't. So Mayweather will probably get the lion's share of the economics. So let's say Mayweather gets $60 million and Pacquiao gets $50 million or something like that. But still, the sport of boxing needed this 5 years ago. Everybody wanted to see this when they were in their prime. And so,
shame on Bob Arum and both of these guys and their promoters, because to me, I feel like you're not watching the sport die. Like, yeah, okay, maybe one or two guys make money, but overall, people overall don't even check for boxing. So have some respect for the sport, for the history, and like give the audience what they want. That, you know, I didn't want to beat it with a dead horse, but I wanted to bring it up to you because, to me, I respect Pacquiao. I think he's a great fighter. You know, kudos to Bradley too, and Mayweather's amazing. But you know, we grew up in a time where the best fighters fought each other. You know what I mean? Duran, Leonard, Hagler, Herm. You know, Tommy Hitman Hearns. Pryor, Arguello, and then the heavyweights. Oh gosh, you know.
But yeah, and that's exactly my point.
It was great.
It shouldn't need a fan revolt to get the two best boxers to fight each other, especially if they're more or less in the same weight class, right? We're not asking a featherweight to fight a light heavyweight, you know. These two cats are more or less in the same weight class. They should have fought each other 5 years ago, and they've been dragging this out, and they'll still get paid if they fight each other. So what kind of message is that sending? I mean, their sport, in the meantime, their sport is dying. So maybe 10 boxers in the whole sport make money, and in about 10 years, boxing will be completely irrelevant.
I can't argue with you. I tell you, a sport that is still live and booming. Before we get to the Masters, the Sprint Cup Chase Series, and NASCAR, because you know it's all about getting winners and getting new winners. And this year, you know, with the whole new racing format, my man Jimmy Johnson hasn't won yet. He came in third. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is really shining. Came in second, and for his first win this season, Kevin Harvick, took it down and got the victory this week. So good for him, and, you know, good for them over at Darlington. And, you know, hey, NASCAR keeps on going. But you like to see if guys want to make it to the end, Jimmy Johnson and some of these other guys that haven't won yet, you know, maybe Austin Dillon, they better start winning, to stay alive, you know, so...
Yeah,
that's,
we'll keep
that's
our eye
what's going
on NASCAR. It's a long season, and they have what? It's
oh,
almost
yeah.
like football, right? They have four cuts. So, we by the time we get down to the fourth cut, it's down to three racers, three drivers, and three teams. So we'll definitely keep our eye on that. Speaking of keeping our eye on, we lost sight of Michael Phelps. We thought that he wasn't going to go to Rio. His mama wanted him to go to Rio. And apparently,
and you gotta do what Mama says.
Exactly, she put that pressure on him. And our boy Michael Phelps, the 22-time medal winner, is going to Rio, and he's going to swim. He announced he's coming out of retirement. So about halfway through, 2 years after the last Olympics, 2 years before the next Olympics, our boy Michael Phelps coming out of retirement. I love it.
He might not win everything, but you know what? It makes it compelling. It's great for ratings. It's great for America. And you know what? What else is he going to do, man? Go swim. That's who you are. You love it. You know, it's like if you can handle the training, right, because their training is crazy. So if you can deal with the 2 years of hardcore training, then, you know, go ahead and do it, because this would probably definitely be your last. You got to believe that this would be his last shot to be competitive. So if he's still good enough, for it.
How many times did a 26-year-old come out of retirement? I mean, that just tells you how dominant he was at such a young age. The dude is coming out of retirement at 26.
Well, you know who else is coming out of semi-retirement? Your boy Chad Ochocinco Johnson, trying to go to the CFL to the Argonauts, I think. I mean, I feel bad that Chad, you know, it ended the way it did in New England, and he can't sort of get a job, and him and T.O.'s, their careers ended sort of weird, maybe even Randy Moss a little bit, but not as much as them. But for such greatness, and we both know T.O. and Randy are Hall of Famers, what do you think about Chad going to the CFL and not being able to, you know, end his career properly in the NFL, messing up everything in Miami himself? But is Chad Johnson a Hall of Famer, or probably not?
So the one thing missing from his resume is playoff success. But to my mind, you needed to have, to make the Hall of Fame, you need to have dominated your position and your era. And he did. He did. He had five
or six years
where he was the top three wide receiver in the game. And he caught average. He caught touchdowns. He moved the ball. He moved the chains. He played in a Cincinnati team that wasn't great, but they had a couple seasons where they did okay. So the only thing he didn't really do is playoff success, right? He doesn't have that crazy run that a T.O. had, you know, to the
switch. You know what would have put him over the edge? One good season with the Patriots and Brady, and it just didn't happen. And I think that's where he's going to fall short because of the antics. I think he won't get in the Hall of Fame, but that's what's sad to me because I think you're right. He was great, but despite all the fluff, he was like, you know, he was the real deal. He was oatmeal, right? He was oatmeal despite all the sugar on the side. So I don't know. We'll see. I just thought I brought it up to you. But you know who's the real deal? How about our man with the green jacket? We got to give props today to Bubba Watson. Congratulations. Won his second Masters. He battled back and forth, finished up minus eight. Were you surprised, or did you think Jordan Spieth and Blixt would take him over? I mean, Spieth took a lead for a minute, and then Bubba came back. What did you think about the end on Sunday on a great, great Masters performance?
So, first of all, shout out to my lefties, because Bubba won it for two of the last 3 years, and I think in the past 10 years there have been six left-handed victories. Phil has three, Bubba has two, and Mike Weir has one. So you know I got to shout out to my lefties.
We need a campaign. All the lefties need to unite and send your lefty, your favorite lefty in sports to rayandtatetoday@gmail.com. Or like I said, you know, do your little voice memo and email us, and we'll play it on there. Everybody's favorite lefty in sports to rayandtatetoday@gmail.com, because Ray is a lefty nut. If you're a lefty, he's down with you. That's funny.
But going back to the Masters, I thought that eighth hole was the critical, that swing right there where Spieth was up by two, and then the swing where he started to, I think he had birdied, five of his first seven holes, and everything was looking hunky-dory, and then, now he's only 20 years old, so you can't really be mad at him. I mean, he played a great tournament. And then just the experience
of
being
there. And Bubba was consistent
and solid. And Bubba Watson, you know, played consistently well all weekend and just turned it on the back nine. It was just his. He ran away with it. And, you know, what was crazy about it is everybody was worried about Tiger not being there. I mean, the golf was great. It just the name Tiger wasn't there, but the competition was there, the drama was there, the interest was there. It's just that the mainstream viewer who only knows Tiger or really watches because of Tiger, and you can't blame him.
Or
because
Phil.
Tiger's,
or Phil. A lot of people like Phil. He's a big in America.
So, but it was a great end to the tournament. It was a good, you know, good competition. I thought the PGA showed well. And again, you know, these young stars. I mean, whether it's Bubba, or whether it's a Rory
and
McIlroy.
I think Bubba is very likable. I
got a shout out real quick. I got a shout out to Bubba, who, if anybody is from the South, and especially the Southeast, you know Bubba represented by going to the Waffle House at 1:30 in the morning. Your boy wins the Masters, and he keeps it real
comedy
with his friends at the Waffle House. And if you don't know about the Waffle House, go down to any state from, you know, Maryland
down
to Florida. Just check out the Waffle House. And get yourself some good chicken,
cool,
some waffles.
You definitely got to love that one. That hit home when I heard that, because that's like – but, you know, he's – I don't know. I think golf is in good hands. When you think of Bubba and some of these young guys and where the game is going, you know, I would definitely say that. So it's cool, man.
Yeah, I think golf is in fine hands. I think what's been missing is a dominant performance. I mean, everybody thought Rory a dominating performance over a stretch of a year or 2 years, multiple majors, something that people were positioning Rory McIlroy to do. but they just haven't found that guy. You know, somebody.
And maybe these guys will rotate. Because everybody wants someone to be
like.
Dominating in terms of to be like Tiger, and maybe there is no Tiger, but maybe you got Rory, Jordan, Bubba, Austin Day, Adam Scott, Adam Scott and what's the other kid, and you know, and maybe they all, four or five of them, you know, kind of win one or two a year or something like that, and they battle each other. I think, I don't know, I like the sort of new young names, you know, and I'm not a golf head, but I mean, I'm always going to watch for El Tigre. But I think these guys are good, you know. And so we'll see. So let's talk some baseball, man. Let's talk a little bit about the sport that is baseball, something magical. We grew up with it. The season is in a couple of weeks, and we could always talk about the positive, right? Like the Yankees, first place, win 3 out of 4 against Boston. Nova pitches good. Beltran, you know, hits a homer last night. Jeter, doesn't play 2 games in the series. I'm sure that's not too cool for fans who are trying to go see him, but I'll testify for that ankle. Sometimes, you know, your ankle could just feel a little jacked up and sore. But you figure, why wouldn't he play in nice weather and this and that? It's been a little bit warmer in New York. But, you know, look, the Yankees are getting it together. But what the heck has happened in Arizona and Cincinnati? What do you think is going on? Like the Reds, to me, at 4-8, they need your boy Chapman back, but the Reds better get it together because the Brewers are going to run away.
Yeah, well, the Brewers unexpectedly, too. I mean, you knew St. Louis was going to be there. You knew Pittsburgh was going to be there. But they're actually playing down to earth. You know, they're 7-5 and 6-6, respectively. But the Milwaukee Brewers, 9 in a row. And, you know, I kind of disrespected their pitching staff, but it turns out that those, you know, number 2, number 3 starters are all doing great. So Kyle Loesch pitched 8 2/3 yesterday, pitched a great game. And Giovanni Gallardo has always been, you know, solid, if not exceptional. They got the young kid Marco Estrada. They got K-Rod in the back end of the rotation. They brought James Shields over.
That was a big pickup.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of, you know, really solid pitchers.
And if
Ryan Braun can come back and not let last year affect him and score a few runs, I mean, hey, this Milwaukee team, I don't know if they can hold on for 162 games, but right now, you know, they're pretty tough. I take my hat off because I didn't expect them to be – I expect them to be in fourth place. So, you know what? I'm pleasantly surprised. And they've got, Aramis Ramirez and Overbay and Chris Davis and Carlos Gomez running around there in center field.
Yeah,
you know,
Gomez is playing good.
I said James Shields. I meant Matt Garza is the guy they got from Kansas City.
Yeah,
but
Garza.
They've got a bunch of really solid players. And the one star, you know, K-Rod is a former star, and the one star they have is obviously Ryan Braun, if he comes back to his MVP numbers. But you know what?
But Davis and Overbay, I mean, they got a lot of solid hitters. You know, these guys
can hit
your singles, get you some doubles here and there. And before you know it, they're winning games, you know, 5-2, 5-3. So, hey, if you find, you know what it is, too? With baseball, a lot of it is whatever people have for their expectations. If you have a couple guys play above the back of their baseball card and then you get momentum and you stay healthy, you know, it can be a nice recipe for, you know, what we saw last year with the Red Sox. You know, guys were grinding out at bats, getting a lot of walks, getting clutch hits, and I think that's what you might see out of the Brewers. Now, we'll see if it lasts, how long it lasts, but it's the way that they're sort of doing it now, and you got to give tip your hat to them. I definitely.
Gene,
you know,
Segura and Ricky Weeks in the middle of that infield. I mean, look, the one thing you could say about them is that they don't really have Jonathan Lucroy is a good young catcher. I had him in fantasy a couple of years. They don't really have a weakness. They're just solid. They're solid you know, baseball players. They're not exceptional. I mean, maybe Aramis Ramirez and offensively and Ryan Braun are exceptional offensive players. Potentially Carlos Gomez is a fantastic defensive player, Gene Segura too. But solid, solid team. And you want them to succeed. You know, I feel sorry for teams like Milwaukee who, you know, in back-to-back years lose CeCe Sabathia, basically had to trade him because they knew he wasn't going to come back, and then lose Prince Fielder. So
yeah,
and then by the way, Ryan Braun gets caught up in all the PED issues that he had, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, these guys don't have the ability to bring in, you know, a two or three superstars, so they really can't strike out with their superstars. So I like to see when teams like Milwaukee, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, I like to see those teams have some success.
Well, it's like old 80s baseball, right, before the salaries and the TV money got so crazy, where these smaller cities, whether it was the Twins, the you know, the Indians, the Royals, the Brewers, these were places where they had good and exciting and great baseball teams. You know, look at the Mariners. They've been, you know, kind of out of it for a long time, and this year, you know, they finally were able to spend a little bit of money. But, you know, the Mariners, when they had young A-Rod and Edgar Martinez and Griffey Jr., you know, they put together
Jay
what?
Jay Buhner.
And they had the best, what did they win, like 120-something games? They had the best record ever, I think.
Yeah, they had the best record. Well, they didn't go all the way, so they didn't have the total. I think the Yankees won 125.
Well, right, but regular season.
But they had the best regular season. I think it was 110, something like that. 110, 112
something
victories.
Crazy, so.
Yeah.
You know, and so Seattle, you know, these markets, it's good to see, you know, for baseball fans to see these markets come back and you know, maybe will it ever happen for the Chicago Cubs? That's the question.
I don't mean to laugh,
Chicago.
Theo knows what he's doing, though, but, you know, maybe they're on the 5-year, 10-year plan. I don't know.
Oh, you think Theo knows what he's doing, but it's just the slow version?
Yeah, it's not the Boston Red Sox version. Well, look, Boston Red Sox waited 84 years for Theo to do his thing. So, you know, you got to
And we
got to
shout
touch.
Out everybody, you know, the anniversary, you know, Boston Strong of Hearts are with them coming up this week, you know, the Boston Marathon. And so, you know, our love and hearts and prayers, you know, go out to everybody there. That'll be an emotional day. They're going to have a whole moment of silence. You know, 2:49 p.m. yada yada. So, hey, we're with you, Boston, in that sense. We're not Red Sox fans, but I think, you know, we after the events of last year, everybody was
fans.
We're definitely Boston strong. That was a big thing. Definitely a big thing. So, you know, it is what it is. I want to ask you this. Before we get with the hoops and the NBA, man, I got to talk to you a little bit about some of the football. What's going on, my man, Alden Smith? You know, to me, we all know flying is annoying, right? But sometimes, no matter who you are, you could be Gandhi, right? You're going to get randomly checked. And so the one thing you can't do is get so pissed off that you get irate and say four-letter word, like B-O-M-B. You just can't do that. Not, you know what I mean? Like
there's certain off-limits words.
Yeah, I don't get it. And you know, it's off season, so he's not traveling with his team on a private jet. He's traveling on his own, so he's a regular human being now. You know, he's not, you know, with the Niners, and you know he was arrested in LAX and got released. You know, I don't know, $22,000 or $20,000 cash bond or whatever. I just look, Alden. Please, I know you're not listening, but, you know, if somebody tells you about Rance, hey, you got a short time to play football, my man. You just got to keep it together because you have exceptional talent and you're about to blow it, period.
Yeah, well said. And the problem for a kid like that is that, you know, the perception is going to precede him everywhere he goes. So he's starting out, you know, most people start out at zero, right? But he's starting out at minus two or three. Now, his skills are a 10, right? But in terms of finding a new job and getting paid and securing, you know, that money for him and his family, he's not doing himself any favors. So you might miss out on a $9.5 million payday in 2015 because of this. I don't think the Niners will release him, but they certainly won't. I don't think they're going to pick up that option, which means you're going to have to play your butt off in 2014 to try and get paid in 2015. Now, if you do, and if you stay right, you're playing probably the second most important position in all of football. So you don't, you know, it's your money to lose. Let's put it that way. So you're only 24. People in the NFL will give you a second chance. They'll give you a third chance. But at a certain point, you know, this is not nine lives. You've got to get it together, man. And as football fans, we definitely want to see you play because we enjoy watching your skills on display.
Yeah, shout out to the NFL, and we'll be, I think, Ray and Tay, we're going to have to give you our little mock draft. We'll do our preview, but we're going to have to start breaking down the draft. It's getting closer every day. We'll have our guest and friend to the show, George Reister, ex-Jaguar player. Jaguars are going to be big players. Got the third pick, Oregon Duck. You know, will join us when we do the draft, and we'll probably, you know, get to review it with Path to the Drafts and NFL Network and Fox's own Charles Davis will probably join us after the draft. So, you know, we are heavy on the NFL here and the NFL draft, so we will have you covered. But it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. And these quarterbacks, to me, I don't, you know, I'm starting to think every day I go back and forth, and I'm starting to think, Ray, that these quarterbacks are going to slip down lower and lower. Like the first quarterback, some people will say, oh, number one pick, number three pick of the Jaguars, quarterbacks will be gone by the, you know, 10th pick. I'm thinking the first one might not be picked until Minnesota.
Wow,
which could be
Bortles
at number eight. I'm starting to, because I'm thinking guys are going to either try to trade back in the end of the first round, or they're going to just wait to the second round. But like, look, okay, if I don't get Manziel or Bridgewater, but I go ahead and get, you know, Mettenberg or Carr or Garofalo, you know, what's the difference? Logan Thomas, like, what, is the difference that much compared to me getting a Khalil Mack, you know, to get that dominant pass rusher and linebacker, you know, early on? So I think teams are going to realize that, you know what, looking at Seattle, these teams that need offensive line or great defense will be like, you know what, I'll get the quarterback in the second round. I really do. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what the owner is going to say in Jacksonville. You know, you don't know what he's going to say, and if he wants to sell tickets because that's what they need to do. But I don't know. We'll see. It's going to play itself out and be fascinating. But you know what? Tonight is a big night. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk NBA. Ray and Tay.
We're back. Ray and Tay is back to talk hoops. I told you that I'm falling asleep until April.
You're
it's mid-April, and I'm ready. I'm ready to talk some hoops. I'm ready to hoop it up. News that we talked about all along, just to get everybody up to speed. Joe Dumars stepping down as the Pistons president. So shout out to Joe, great player, brought them a championship
legend
in 04, almost won in 05, went seven games with the rematch with the Spurs, or I shouldn't say rematch, but the beat the Lakers in 5 and then lost to the Spurs in 7. Had a couple really good moves at the beginning of his career, probably struck out in that draft when he drafted,
Darko.
2 overall, Darko Milicic. Right in between LeBron, Carmelo, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh.
It might have been unfair. The basketball gods decided that it would have been unfair with that team at that time if they had had Melo or Wade.
Or Bosh.
Yeah. It would have kept that team together and fresh and around for a while. Definitely.
Let's talk about before NBA in the draft news.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Your boy from Arizona, Aaron Gordon's coming out to the draft.
I like him.
Jabari Parker is staying for now at Duke. He's still got to make it. He has 10 or 12 days to make a decision whether he's coming out. Tyler Ennis from Syracuse said he was coming out. Grant, sophomore, is coming out, going to the draft. So
now, what about
again,
Suskus? Because there were reports that he was coming out, but then he said
he
wasn't
sure.
I heard
he was coming out.
Did he not declare?
I thought I heard.
I don't
that
know
he was
if it was
out.
Official because there was like a couple of different reports. Jeff Goodwin at ESPN and different people. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't got the. I mean, well, the list will come out when the deadline is here. We'll know. But you know, and check out. We can definitely have a mock draft for you for the NBA, and we'll talk NBA draft too. It's going to be fun. But look, right now, let's talk about the. First of all, goodbye, good night, and good luck to the New York Knicks. The season ended when the Hawks took it to the Heat, and I think the Heat were, I don't even know if they're trying, because I think they wanted that 2 seed secretly, Ray. That's how I feel. But the Knicks, you know, the Knicks showed themselves well the last 2 games. It's a little too late. They took care of the Bulls last night, but, you know, it's like, oh, don't tease me now. Don't play good now. It's over. So, and we'll have, hopefully, Ian Begley will join us at the end of the week to wrap up the Knicks season and where they go from here. There's some rumblings that Phil Jackson might want to, you know, bring in a new coach, but also bring in Lamar Odom. I can tell you right now, I love Odom, but just like we always do, whether it's wanting to get Mullen, bringing in Kiki Vandeweghe, bringing in Ron Artest, it's 5 years or 8 years too late for Lamar Odom. I don't want Lamar Odom on the next year. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lamar. I don't know what you feel about this, but that's not the way to
go.
Yeah.
I feel like Lamar isn't even – I don't know if Lamar is right. I mean, his head wasn't right, you know, even when he was in Dallas. And then he had to make it back to
LA. He was just playing in Spain and got hurt. The back got hurt. And yeah, I think it's
yeah, I'm talking about his head, let alone his game, and Lamar's getting
older. No, I know.
Yeah, you're right, though. We've had too many of these guys, Rolando Blackman and Kiki Vandeweghe and Xavier McDaniel and
great
all these
names,
guys
lesser
came at the
games.
End of their career. Doc Rivers. I mean, all of these guys were great at one point. Just we got them. The only guy that the Knicks got really at the prime of his career was Allen Houston, you know, in the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Because even Larry Johnson
and
had the back.
Even LJ the back, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
So we really have.
And then Carmelo, and be fair, and then Carmelo.
Sorry, yeah. Obviously, I was talking about before this team. But, yeah, Carmelo.
Yeah.
Carmelo was at the prime, and Allen Houston was at the prime. But everybody else that we got who was a, you know, a big-name free agent was past his prime. So let's not do that. Let's use 2015 as an opportunity. I mean, unless you want to sign him for the veterans minimum for 2014, but let's just use this opportunity to get young, to get fresh, and start over again. With Carmelo, without Carmelo, you know, that's TBD.
What do you think he's doing? You think he's leaving us? Or you think he's going to Chicago? Is he staying with us? What do you think he's going to do?
So if he wants to win, I think he goes to Chicago. If he wants to get paid and maybe, you know, almost throw a Hail Mary up there and try and win, he stays in New York. I think the money, the opportunity, the fact that he's beloved in New York, I think he stays, actually. I think he stays and he rolls the dice. And then what might happen is in 2-3 years, maybe he has a silent agreement with Phil. He says, look, you know, if this isn't working out, you got to trade me. You got to trade me. You got to give me a man-to-man that you're going to try your best to put a championship team around me. And, you know, even if I sign a 5-year deal with you, if by the end of second or third year you find it's not happening, you got to do me that solid and trade me. I mean, nothing official, nothing written on paper, no opt-out, nothing like that, but just man-to-man. You know, I got to win a championship.
Man-to-man. Well, look, the East is set. Right now, we're still getting some seeding going on, but the Hawks are definitely the last playoff team. You know, Toronto and Chicago battling for the third spot. Brooklyn looks like they'll be 5, going to Chicago probably at 4 or Toronto. I guess the real main topic, and we got to talk about it, is the West. Dallas had a big win over Phoenix. They clinched on Saturday night. Dallas is the 7th seed, could potentially move up to the 6th because the Warriors have been dropping, and the Warriors have a big game tonight. They got a win at home against Minnesota. But the game of the night is Memphis at Phoenix. The scheduling gods made it right. You can't you can't ask for anything better. It tips off 10 o'clock Eastern. It's going to be exciting as I don't know what. The Grizzlies at the Phoenix Suns. Do you think the Suns have a chance? What do you think? I mean, the Suns have to win this and then win one more to finish out the season. But do you think they can?
They have a chance. But you know what? I like the veteran moxie and the leadership, and I like the Grizzlies. I like the Grizzles. Now they may be tired, but taking fatigue out of it, if they can beat Phoenix, they clinch that. They clinch a playoff berth. They could even move up to the 7th seed. I don't know
right,
the tiebreaker situation
loses
with Golden State, because theoretically they could move up to 6th, depending on tiebreaker, because they have 32 losses. Golden State has 31. But I like Memphis. I like Memphis. I thought all along that Memphis would be in the playoffs. And you know
what?
Yeah,
we said it way back on the show.
Between Dallas, Memphis, and Phoenix, right, the three of them have given us a lot of good basketball. And unfortunately, one of those teams, very good
Eric Bledsoe
teams,
coming back, has played great.
Yeah, one of those teams isn't going to make the playoffs, though.
No, definitely not. You know, another big game tonight. And this will, you know, lead into our segment in a little bit too. But I think this is a second round preview here potentially. The Spurs are playing the Rockets, and I think that right there you're going to have a heck of a battle. Much, you know, much more bigger than the battle of Boston and Philly tonight. I don't know. Maybe
battle.
Mike is watching that for the NBA tanking. Boston at Philly. Our caller to the show, Mike. But I got to tell you, Spurs at Rockets. This is going to be. This will be to me a heck of a game. And you know, I guess to me, it's about Tony Parker. You know, and I'm not sure if he's you know playing for tonight. I got questions too about the Heat. I think what the Pacers did by beating the Thunder, I think they got their heads right. I think Stevenson, amazing. His league-leading fifth triple-double was outstanding. You know, Durant dropped 38, but he played him tough when he was on him. Same with George. But that was a huge win for the Pacers. And I think the Pacers, even though they lost to the Heat the other night, beating the Thunder, I think they got their minds right. They finished the season. They go to Orlando. They're 35-6 at home, Ray. So getting that number one seed, I think, for the Pacers, which is what they've wanted all season, I think they're going to get it. I think they'll beat Orlando. And watch out. Watch out. It could definitely play out in the East. Pacers, Heat, Game 7. Pacers could have a tough second round, though, with the Brooklyn, you know, either Bulls or Raptors winner. What are your thoughts about the Pacers coming together with that big win yesterday?
It's like having a child, right? It's very important to set goals and achieve those goals. And so I think especially for the Pacers because they came out and verbally said it. And I respect that because a lot of teams are politically correct, but they actually
set goals.
Honest.
They
just don't articulate it. They told you, they said our goal is to win the Eastern Conference. And we firmly believe that if in – the 2012-13 playoffs, if we had had the number one seed, that game seven would have been in Indiana and we would have won. So now that game will be in Indiana if it comes down to a game seven. So if you, assuming they get the number one seed, if they handle their business in the first round against Atlanta, in the second round against probably a Chicago-Brooklyn winner, if you handle your business, because it looks like Miami, you know, they're a little bit shaky, but they'll get there. They'll get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You got exactly what you wanted, you know. You got Miami in a seven-game series. Again, we're projecting ahead, and I wouldn't be surprised if that 4-5 could give them trouble, maybe take them to seven. But if you get your Miami, this is what you wanted, right? You set up your franchise for this, to beat the Miami Heat in a seven-game series. So good for them. I thought that was a very important win against the Thunder last night. This last month of the season between the Heat and the Pacers has been really weird because, you know, one team has a three-game lead, the Pacers, and then the Heat take over, and it's theirs to lose, and the Pacers.
Some bad basketball, let's be honest. They both had a
rough
run.
Yeah, it really has been. It almost leads you to believe, again, you know, we say this in all sports, but 82 games is a long time. You know, if this were a 60-game season, then the playoffs would look a whole lot different. Momentum would be different. But you really, as much as fans don't want to hear it, and as much as you want to think, oh, I'm paying top dollar to see these guys and I'm watching the NFL or the NBA package, they're tired and they pace themselves and they're humans. And, you know, Greg Popovich does it overtly and most other coaches do it a little bit more covertly, but you really do have to pace yourselves because the 10,
I would say they probably don't do it enough. I think Popovich is, you know, smart, and yeah, he does it because his teams are veterans and the Heat have been forced to do it with Dwayne Wade with the hamstring and the knee and yada yada. But I think like Melo, LeBron, I mean, look at the minutes that these guys are logging, and you know, Melo's shoulder, you know, having shoulder issues and stuff like that, literally carrying the team on his shoulders and back, right? You know, I mean, the guy's exhausted.
Tired.
You know? Yeah, man. So
playoffs for 10 years, Olympics 2-3 times, preseason, it all adds up. It adds up to a lot of basketball.
A lot of games and working them knees out. So let me ask you this, though. Are you ready to see basketball, unlike other sports, right? The one thing we love about basketball is that there's like a rite of passage. You know how teams earn it. Like the Bulls, they had to get past the Pistons. The Pistons had to get past the Celtics. You know, all these different, you know, it's like a stepping order. So this year, East or West, are we going to see any like kinks in the history chain? Will there be somebody or some team to break through sort of the pecking order of how things normally go, where you each year you go further and earn something?
So the one team. So the short answer, I don't think so. I think it will stick to it, because if you look at the team Indiana, if they make the finals, they will have earned it because they go one round farther every year. Miami's a defending champ, so they're doing their thing. So the question in the East is if Toronto or Brooklyn were to win. Chicago, I think, has always been there. They've been huffing and puffing, and they've lost roles. And so if they were to advance to the finals, in fact, I predicted before the season a crazy prediction that the Bulls would beat the Clippers in the finals. But if the Bulls were to make it, they've been around for several years. So really in the East, you got to think Toronto, Brooklyn, Washington. If any of these teams were to make it to the finals, then they would have skipped, you know, that –
skipped a lot.
Yeah, that's skipped that huffing and puffing process. Now, Brooklyn's a little bit of a special team because they've got the veterans and the guys they brought over from Boston especially. Now, in the West, the Clippers have only been together in this format with Chris Paul for 2 years. So if the Clippers make the finals, you know, they did a little bit better than last year, but they haven't really been there.
They haven't won anything yet, yeah.
Knocking on the door, but the Clippers would be one team. Houston, Portland, Golden State, like all of these teams would be pretty surprising because they haven't consistently with their current rosters, right, because Dwight Howard just came over this year. Portland's been in and out of the playoffs, and Golden State, obviously, you know, they had some success last year, but really these are new kids on the block. So if they were to make it, they would be – like the Thunder of 3 years ago that just kind of out of nowhere made the NBA Finals that first season when the Heat beat
Durant
them.
And Westbrook.
So, I personally think it'll probably be a top three seed. So in the West, I think it'll be San Antonio, Oklahoma City, LA Clippers, one of those three. And then in the East, it's probably Indiana or Miami. But if somebody else comes out, hey, we might have to rewrite some basketball history.
Well, I'll tell you this. You're not ready. And you're not ready for our segment, You're Not Ready. And I'm going to start it off because right on this topic, I'm talking NBA, and I'm talking NBA playoffs. And they're in a battle. They're half a game up in the fourth seed, the Houston Rockets. They play the Spurs tonight. And they want to get home court in the first round of the playoffs against Portland. And I think there's this guy named James Harden who's dropping 25 a game. Great season, almost 26.
And puts his beard in your grill.
Has the beard. You got Howard, who is, you know, in the top five in rebounding, number three in field goal percentage. Basically has taken the Rockets to new heights, you know, from last year barely making the playoffs to this year being, you know, one of the definite top teams, you know, potentially a top four team.
And quietly, if that's possible, for a guy that we thought was the best center, you know, in the current basketball.
Well, I think I'm going to say I think he's been a little disrespected. And I think a lot of people have been talking about Gasol and Brooke Lopez and Hibbert and Noah, you know, is like all these other centers. Well, guess what? What Dwight Howard does consistently every single season is be the best center. And he's back on his grind doing that. And I'm going to say that you're not ready for the Houston Rockets to be the surprise team in the Western playoffs. Chandler Parsons, Jeremy Lin, Terrence Jones, these guys, they're going to do what they need to do, get it together, and I think they'll beat the Blazers in a knockout drag out. And I think that they are going to take the leap of faith, right? And I'm going to say you're not ready for them to upset the San Antonio Spurs and lose in the Western Conference Finals, but at least make it to the Western Conference Finals versus the Thunder or the Clippers. I said the Clippers
really?
In the season. That I might have to change later. But I'm going to say you're not ready for the Houston Rockets, led by Harden, Parsons, Jones, and Howard, to upset the Spurs in the second round of the NBA playoffs. Here we go, Houston. Here we go.
Wow, Daryl Morey and Kevin McHale orchestrating
you're not ready, baby.
Western Conference Finals out of the number
you're
4.
You're not ready for the you know, fear the beard. Homie.
Okay, well, look, if they do that, that will mean that really, really kudos to their front office for basically stealing James Harden and then wooing and attracting Dwight Howard from L.A. They signed Lin and Omer Asik to these big, huge, backloaded contracts, but they needed to do that, I guess, to get them away from their current teams, but kudos to them if they can pull this off. You know, Western Conference Finals, that's nice. And look, Howard and Harden are still – and Parsons are still young. They're all in their,
yeah.
in their mid to late
Anna
20s, Sheik. You know.
And you know, Sheik hasn't
Sheik
been happy,
unhappy,
but he – listen, he, but he could play a big role in the playoffs. Big
Omer
role.
Asik. The problem is that he and Dwight Howard both have the same weakness, so that's a problem when they both can't hit free throws. But that's interesting. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm not ready for that. So if that happens, we're going to shout out Tay for his prognostication.
I got to go bold. You know, I'm going bold because the Spurs are kind of old.
Okay.
Just saying.
So my you're not ready is in a different sport. It's in the pigskin, National
Ooh.
Football League. And my you're not ready, ironically enough, is on a team that is profiled in a movie called Draft Day, which grossed a little under $10 million this weekend, and it's opening weekend with Kevin Costner and Jennifer Garner and Dennis Leary. The Cleveland Browns.
And our boy Aaron Foster's in there too, I heard.
Yeah, we got to go see that movie, give you a Ray and Tate movie review. That's what we need to do, a movie review, especially because it's a sports movie. You know, we have to do that.
Oh, definitely.
But my point is you're not ready for the Cleveland Browns to have a breakout draft, a breakout season, and in a not-so-strong-anymore AFC North with both the Ravens and the Steelers – you know, having some question marks in terms of getting older, putting in new pieces to the puzzle, you're not ready for the Cleveland Browns to go 9-7 and make the playoffs. I'm talking playoffs. And the last time they did that was, I think it was 2007 with our boy Derek Anderson throwing to Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow. You're not ready. You're not ready. And not only that, but with the number four pick, you're not ready for the Cleveland Browns to take my man, Johnny Manziel. And he is going to turn around the franchise and be the future of the funk in Cleveland by the lake. Talk about right there on Lake Erie, on the bank of Lake Erie.
Okay.
Johnny Manziel.
You're really on the edge here now.
The Texas kid comes up to Cleveland, leads them to the playoffs at 9-7, handing it off to Ben Tate, throwing it to my man Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron, and taking my Cleveland Browns as a wild card to the 2014 playoffs. Playoffs? You're not ready for the Cleveland Browns.
That right there, yeah, you know, all I could say
is
wow.
You can admit it, say you're not ready, that's all right.
Well, you're not ready. I say this, though. As a Steeler fan, I'm offended, but I will say this. You didn't say win the division. You said wild card. So I think you still have a little faith in either the Steelers or Ravens. But I do like Nate Burleson. I do like them getting
the Bengals, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Bengals, too. So that's right.
The
so
Bengals.
The Bengals, yeah. Well, listen. And your boy, who you have beef with, he got a new contract, too. So, you know, we got to give him off in the – Give him his little bit of love there. He's staying on as the head coach, even though both assistants are long gone. The thing about Cleveland, I got to ask you. At four, if you take Manziel, at 26, I guess, you know, is that where you're looking to get maybe another weapon? Because I do think Josh Gordon and Burleson, I think they need another receiver. And I think, you know, maybe down there at 26, you know, maybe you could get a Landry from LSU or maybe if Cooks is around from Oregon State or, you know, one of these guys. But what I'm fascinated to see is I don't know exactly, but I think in the first 50 or 60 picks, maybe 60, 70 picks, they have five draft choices up early in the first two or three rounds. So two in the first. I think it's two in the second, one in the third. So in the first three rounds, five picks. And, you know, to have two in the first round, that's really great value. So I'm going to be interested with that Colts pick, basically, for Trent Richardson. And now you got Tate. Basically, you traded Tate for Richardson. How they run the ball, they re-sign Alex Mack. I think you're right. Cleveland is going to be, you know, bringing in the veterans, Dansby and Whitner, you know, Hittner, if he's going to be Hittner in Cleveland. They got a shot, you know. They definitely got a shot. I like the coaching. Let's see what Pettit does, right, Mike Pettin, from the Bills, an ex-Jet assistant. So, all right. I see where you're at, Playboy. Wait, do you want to boldly say it? Is the Bengals that are going to win the division? Are you saying my Steelers aren't going to make the playoffs again?
Well, look, I wouldn't be surprised if both The real question is, do the Kansas City Chiefs come back and return next year? Because where I'm going with this is both wild cards could come out of the AFC North, right? Because I don't believe, other than the Patriots, I don't believe anybody's good in the AFC East. In the AFC South, you know, I really think that the Colts.
Just the Colts.
Class of that division, and then really it comes down to the AFC West if you think the Chargers or the Chiefs can challenge the Broncos. So if you don't think that, then you could say three out of the four teams in the AFC North could go to the playoffs. So it really comes down to Kansas City. What do you think about Kansas City? Because I think ultimately the Chargers will fall a little bit short this year.
Yeah,
but that's
you
where
know,
I think Cleveland can sneak in at 9-7.
Okay, well, that's going to be fascinating because I actually think it could be a battle between, like we did last year with all the wild card teams at the end, you know, Jets, maybe Cleveland, Chiefs, Chargers. It'll be interesting, Andy Reid year two. That's what I'm interested in. I think they did lose a couple, you know, linemen. If they don't get a receiver, I'm worried about the Chiefs' offense developing because they did lose a versatile player in Dexter McCluster, and I think they're going to miss him. You know, he did a little bit of everything for them, and Dwayne Bowe is not getting better. He's getting a little bit worse, so he needs help.
Yeah, he's an enigma because he's got the talent, he's got the size. You know, you really thought that he held out when he first got drafted out of LSU, but his first couple of years he was on the rise, and you thought that he was an 80 reception, 1,200 yard, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 touchdowns a year guy, but he's so inconsistent. So we'll see. Yeah, you're right. Losing Dexter McCluster is a big deal because he's a playmaker in special teams. You know, as that kind of flex receiver, he gives them a lot. Gave them a lot.
Yeah, no, and to me, you know, I like what you saw out of Dontari Poe and their defense. They got banged up, right? They lost two of their guys towards the end of the year, and they weren't healthy.
Yeah, Houston
so
and
I
Ali
that,
going down, really. And I think it took their spirit.
Huge.
It took their heart,
yeah.
Too.
And I think their defense will come back. I'm more concerned about that offense. I'm not worried about Alex Smith. He's proven, like, yo, I'm not nobody's game manager. I'm legit. But he needs people to throw to. They need a real tight end, and they need another receiver. So let's see what they do in the draft because they didn't really address it in free agency.
The only thing I'll say is Andy Reid's an offensive coach. So at least your coach is creative. And you know what? We both say that he doesn't run the ball enough. But that's what he did in Philly. But he seems to get the most out of Jamal Charles. I mean, Jamal Charles was, you know, an MVP candidate
last
year.
MVP, yeah.
Nobody was, you know, touching Peyton. But if Peyton wasn't Peyton last year, Jamal Charles would have been, you know, a serious, serious consideration for MVP. So we'll see about those Chiefs. I mean, they're young. And like you said, Alex Smith is the real deal. I mean, he's not Peyton Manning, but he's no slouch either. He's the top, you know, certainly a top 10 15 quarterback, so nothing to be worried about there.
Right now, is he better than Romo?
Forget
the stats, just in terms of the winning and you know, you hate to use the word game managing, but when I think about like Romo, Flacco, Smith, is Alex Smith? Maybe I shouldn't say Flacco.
He might be because he won't beat you.
He won't lose.
He won't beat you. Yeah. He won't lose a game for you. He may not throw for 500 yards, but he certainly won't throw for 5 interceptions, and he won't lose you a game, and he'll put you in position. You won't go, you know, with the talent that Dallas has, you won't go 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, and Romo, who actually plays very well in clutch situations, but he's also shown a propensity to make some real, real silly mistakes. I mean, it's one thing when you're down to try and fit the ball into double coverage and you get picked off. That's one thing. But when you're up to throw an interception or a pick six or something in the fourth quarter, that's the mistake that Alex doesn't make.
Even though you guys signed Brandon Wheaton, I'm going to say you guys need a quarterback and for the future because Romo, the surgeries and getting older. Your first two picks, I would say you got to get a pass rusher and somebody in the secondary, a corner or a safety. Probably a safety, but I would say that third-round pick, the Cowboys, you should look at Aaron Murray or somebody, some quarterback that, you know, if they're still around out of the 9 or 10 guys that are pretty decent, maybe Taj Boyd. I think the Cowboys should take a shot on one of these quarterbacks. What do you think about that?
I'll take the kid from Georgia. I mean, Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
Or the kid from Alabama.
Yeah, AJ. I totally think that that's what they got to do. Yeah, so... Well, let's see what happens. We'll let you know. We'll talk about it. Hopefully Friday we'll be breaking down the actual playoff matchups, give you our first round predictions for the playoffs of Rante, and we will talk some more sports, man. It's going to be – let's go Phoenix Suns tonight. Like, rooting for the Suns. Hope they take down the Grizzlies. It's going to be fun, but, you know, I like Zeebo too, so – Keep it local, definitely. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again on Friday. Ray and Tate today.
Talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Right now, this is for your